So today we are going to study Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 13, text 30 and 31. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text 30. Prakrityaiva cha karmani kriyamanani sarvashah yaha pashyati tathatmanam akartaram sapashyati prakrityaiva cha karmani kriyamanani sarvashah yaha pashyati tathatmanam akartaram sapashyati. Next verse. Yada bhuta prithak bhavam ekastham anupashyati tat eva cha vistaram brahma sampadyate tatha yata yada bhuta prithak bhavam ekastham anupashyati tat eva cha vistaram brahma sampadyate tada. Please recite. Prakritaiva cha karmani kriyamanani sarvashah yaha pashyati tathatmanam akartaram sapashyati yada bhuta prithak bhavam ekastham anupashyati tata eva cha vistaram brahma sampadyate tada prakriteyaiva cha karmani kriyamanani yah pashyati tathātmānam akartāram sapashyati yadā bhūta prithak bhāvam ekastham anupashyati taiva cha vistāram brahma sampadyate tathā. Okay, so let us read word by word translation. Prakritya, by material nature. Eva, certainly. Cha, also. Karmani, activities. Kriyamanani, being performed. Sarvashah, in all respects. Yaha, anyone who pashyati sees tatha also Atmanam, himself, Akartaram, the non-doer, Saha, he, Pashyati, sees perfectly. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. One who can see that all activities are performed by the body, which is created of material nature, and sees that the self does nothing, actually sees. Purport: this body is made by material nature under the direction of the super soul, and whatever activities are going on in respect to one's body are not his doing. Whatever one is supposed to do, either for happiness or for distress, one is forced to do because of the bodily constitution. The self, however, is outside all these bodily activities. This body is given according to one's past desires. To fulfill desires, one is given the body with which he acts accordingly. Practically speaking, the body is a machine designed by the Supreme Lord to fulfill desires. Because of desires, one is put into difficult circumstances to suffer or to enjoy. This transcendental vision of the living entity, when developed, makes one separate from bodily activities. One who has such a vision is an actual seer. Next verse. When a sensible man ceases to see different identities due to different material bodies, and he sees how beings are expanded everywhere, he attains to the Brahman conception. When one can see that the various bodies of the living entities arise due to the different desires of the individual soul and do not actually belong to the soul itself, one actually sees. In the material conception of life, we find someone a demigod, someone a human being, a dog, a cat, etc. This is material vision, not actual vision. This material differentiation is due to a material conception of life. After the destruction of the material body, the spirit soul is one. The spirit soul, due to contact with material nature, gets different types of bodies. When one can see this, he attains spiritual vision, thus being freed from differentiations like man, animal, big, low, etc. One becomes purified in his consciousness and able to develop Krishna consciousness in his spiritual identity. How he then sees things will be explained in the next verse. Let us chant Mangalacharan prayers. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnanam Janashalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namah. Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrijatam Sahagan Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagan Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांता राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण से एनी वन अंडरस्टूड दीज टू वर्सेस बाय हियरिंग टेल प्रद्युम्न what do you understand?
See, there are these two verses. They are making a difference. Prabhupada is saying that one who is perfectly sees the difference between soul and body.
Okay.
One who is akarmani, one who don't know any more, he just sees his body.
What else? This has very deep meaning. It's very difficult for common person to understand actually. But before we start discussing this, let us just understand the context in which this verse has been spoken. So here we are in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Srimad Bhagavad Gita has got 18 chapters. In the first 6 chapters, Lord Krishna primarily talks about Karma Yoga. Of course, there are other things also, but it's primarily focused on Karma Yoga. The middle 6 chapters, from 7 to 12, the focus is on Bhakti Yoga, the devotional service. And the last 6 chapters, from 13 to the end, is primarily focused on Jnana Yoga. A very detailed knowledge about all the essential aspects of this world has been given here. So knowledge is always difficult part to understand. So this chapter starts with a question by Arjuna where he asks for 6 things. What are they? Anyone would like to tell? What are those 6 things that Arjuna asks for? We can read the first verse. Because in order to understand a particular verse, it's important to know the context. The question that has been asked, and Krishna is responding to that. So we can properly understand what is this all about. Prakritim purusham chaiva kshetram kshetrajnameva cha etad veditum ikshami gyanam gyanam geyam cha keshava. 6 things are asked. Prakriti, what is this material world, material nature? Purusham, the enjoyer. Krishna says, I am the Purusha. Kshetram, which has been described as the field of activity, which is this body. This body is called Kshetra, the field of activity, which includes senses, the mind, knowledge acquiring senses, the mind and the working senses, this body. Kshetrajna means the knower of this body, which is soul and the super soul. Those two have been answered. They are the two knowers of this body. The difference is the soul, individual soul, knows only one's own body, but the super soul knows everybody's body, everything. So there are always two knowers who know about this body, what is going on in this body, and they control. So those are the 4 things. And then the second line, the 2 more, Jnanam Geyam Chakeshava. What is knowledge? And Geyam means what is the object of knowledge? Means what is the purpose of knowledge? So Pradyumna, what is knowledge? You are a student.
I
Having perfection on something, what is that something? You become perfect in your commerce. That is knowledge. Knowledge is to know Krishna. Krishna, yes, yes, that is the that is the answer to everything. Because Krishna says, Vedeshya Sarvair Ahameva Vedyo. I am the object of knowledge. Fine. So now, what knowledge, the question, what is knowledge and what is the object of knowledge? Both have been answered in this chapter. To do devotional service is the object of knowledge. Ultimately, the object of knowledge is to know Krishna. It's a Krishna who is to be known by everything. And that is done through the process of devotional service. But these questions have been answered here, and knowledge has been described in very detail. What is knowledge? It's very important to understand these verses, the verses from 8 to 12. There are five verses which Krishna tells that this is knowledge, and other than this, whatever exists is ignorance. And in that, it's all the divine qualities that she talks about. Humility, pridelessness, non-violence, tolerance, simplicity, and you can read yourself separately. The Krishna says, all these I declare to be knowledge, and besides this, whatever there may be is ignorance. So actually, this is the real knowledge. So people here in this world, they have this understanding of the subject matter expert. Anything you know is knowledge. Knowledge has to have a purpose. The purpose of this material knowledge that we get is only to earn livelihood. That's all. It doesn't help in any way in elevating one's consciousness. This knowledge helps in elevating one's consciousness. This knowledge takes one closer to Krishna. So knowledge has to have a purpose. So that knowledge, yes, that is the other things in this material world is also knowledge, but that is called material knowledge, and the purpose is only how to live our material life in a more comfortable way. But which never happens. Which never happens. So that basically, according to Bhagavad Gita, if that knowledge is not used in Krishna's service, is not connected in any way, then that becomes simply ignorance. It doesn't help much. Because that does not help one grow in consciousness, and at the end of the life, everything will be finished, and one has to take birth again, and again learn those commerce, economics, accounts, all those subjects, mathematics, physics, chemistry, biology, whatever. Again learn the same things, and again die, and again be born. So it's not very much helpful. It's helpful only if, for whatever reason, we have acquired that knowledge, but now we have understood the real goal of life, then we try to use that in whatever way, in service of Krishna. So then that gets connected, and then that may help us in some way to grow further. Then it's meaningful. So anyway, besides that, the Krishna talks about knowledge, and then after that he starts talking about Gayam. What is the object of knowledge? Then he says, out of all this, the goal is to know me. The goal is to understand who I am. Krishna is the goal of everything. And then after talking in a few verses about Gayam, then he talks about Prakritim and Purusham. And when he talks about Purusham, then he talks about himself. And there he talks about Super Soul. Krishna is present in this world everywhere. as the Super Soul. He pervades through the entire creation as Super Soul. An example has been given in the scriptures how something could be present everywhere. It's very difficult to perceive because of our very limited capacity. One example that is given is just like in the noon time, the sun is on top of our head, but someone who may be 1,000 kilometers away, he also sees the same sun on top of his head. So how can the same sun be present on top of every person's head when the person is 1,000 kilometers apart? So just like this, because the sun is so great, so big, can be present at the same time on top of everybody's head. So then what to speak of Krishna, who is even beyond this material creation? He can pervade through the entire universe at the same time. He can be present everywhere. So this gives us some clue how Krishna can be, though this is just a material analogy. But in our scriptures, there are many things that are explained through analogies because that helps us get some understanding. Spiritual topics, spiritual phenomena, very difficult to understand with material logic because it's a completely different set of laws, different set of working there. But we are conditioned to think only in material ways. So many a times example is given, just like this example is given. When Krishna is pleased, when we work to satisfy Krishna, everybody is satisfied. How this can happen? Right? We have no experience of that in this world, that you satisfy any one person and the whole world will be satisfied. Do we have any? No? Right? Then how to understand this point that if you satisfy Krishna, then everybody will be satisfied? How to understand that? So the two examples are given in the scriptures. Those are material analogies. Because we can understand that material concept, so we can relate to it. And then we can have at least some idea that yes, how Krishna, being the Supreme Person and root of everything, when he is pleased, everybody will be satisfied. And those two examples are, one is the example of giving food to the stomach. When we feed the food to the stomach, the whole body is nourished. We don't have to separately feed our ears, our eyes, our head, like that. Other example is of a tree or a plant. When we water the roots, the whole plant is nourished. We don't have to separately water each and every flower or each and every leaf. That will not help. So if we know what is the root of that plant, what is the root or source of nourishment for this body, similarly, what is the root of this whole creation or existence? That is Krishna. When we understand that, then we, applying these analogies, we get some understanding of how when Krishna is pleased, everybody will be satisfied. So that's why these kind of, so many analogies are there in our scriptures, especially in Bhagavatam. And Bhagavad Gita also has many. Okay, so here then, there is a lot of discussion about Super Soul. Krishna talks about that. And then we come to this verse here. Prakrityaiva cha karmani kriyamanani sarvashah yaha pashyati tathatmanam akartaram sa pashyati. One who can see that all activities are performed by the body, which is created of material nature, and sees that the self does nothing, actually sees. It will be very difficult to understand that so many things are happening in this world. We are doing so many things, you are doing so many things, everybody is doing so and so things. And we say that no, none of us are doing anything. That's what this is saying. None of us are doing anything actually. If none of us are doing anything, then why somebody is rewarded, somebody is punished, somebody is scolded, somebody is appreciated? And then why do we get reactions to our activities if I am not doing? That question may come. Right? Because this whole law of karma is based on that whatever we do, we get the reaction of their activities in our next life or in this life also. Sometime we get. But if everything is being done by this body and we are doing nothing, then why do we get reactions? This question may come. So here Krishna is talking about a person who is actually a seer, means a person who is at a very advanced level of consciousness, who is detached from this body. Saying that person who can see all activities are performed by the body. So what happens is, when we are born in this world, we bring with us a baggage of actions, a baggage of reactions to our past karma. That comes along with us. Based on what we have done, we deserve certain type of body which can sometimes enjoy and sometimes suffer. If we have done some good activities, pious activities, we may get good results, sukha, and sometimes bad activities, we may get dukkha. So a person who becomes Krishna conscious and becomes very elevated to the platform, at least to the stage where he is able to differentiate between the body and soul, which is very difficult, then whatever happens to the body or whatever body does, he will not have any attachment to it and he will not take any credit to it. It's very difficult for common people in this world to not take credit of what they do. Very difficult. Everything they do, I did. I earned this much money. I got this many marks. I sang that song. I did this. Everywhere is. So what that person who is very elevated will do, whatever comes, he will accept it as the reaction to past activities. But that person is no longer creating any further actions for his future. In due course, slowly, slowly, that will vanish. And a stage will come when he will be free from all the past reactions. When one is disassociated from the body, he does not suppose some very good things come. Like one becomes a big person or a very rich person or earns so much name and fame and still does not bother about it. Is not at all feeling very happy or very sad. He's just neutral because he is indifferent to it. That person will not accrue any further karma. But what happens in this world for most of the people is that when they suffer, they think I am suffering. When they are happy, they think I am enjoying. So this tendency, this attitude of enjoying and suffering, that keeps creating further reactions. And this chain continues. It does not end. And the examples are there in our scriptures. Examples of Bharat Maharaj, who Jada Bharat, who acted, his three lives are mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. The first life, he was the son of Rishabhdev. He went to the forest And he was doing tapasya, but he got attached to a deer. So next life he was born as a deer. But by Krishna's grace, he remembered his past life. And in another life, then he was born as a human being in the family of a Brahmin, but he acted like a mudha, as a foolish person, knowingly, because he didn't want to be attached to anything. Because he was very careful that if I act like a normal person, then there will be so many attachments. I will be forced to marry, I will be engaged in this work, I will get name and fame, I get money, and then I will get bound. So rather than if I act like a foolish, then nobody will care about me. And he was such a great soul. Internally he was in a very elevated state, but externally he lived like a foolish person. So he is an example of this situation where whatever was happening to his body, he is completely unattached to it. He could see that it's all happening it's all being done by the body in combination with the modes of material nature. And I have nothing to do with this. If happiness came, he was not rejoiced. If misery came, then also he was not worried. When he was captured by those tribals in the forest, and he was taken to be killed, he was not at all fearful. See, just imagine this state of consciousness. A person who knows that he is going to be chopped off here, and he is completely unattached. He did not even resist at all. He happily goes, okay, fine. They put his head, it's fine. How is it possible? That is this verse. Yeah? That he sees that this is all happening by the body, and I have nothing to do with it. He is actually the seer. In third chapter, there is a verse similar to this: Prakrite kriyamanani gunay karmani sarvasa ahankar vimudhatma karta aham iti manyate. Which says that prakrite kriyamanani gunay karmani sarvasa. And ahankar vimudhatma, one who is bewildered by false ego. Ahankar vimudhatma. One, a person who is bewildered by false ego, he thinks that karta aham iti. I am the doer. But in actuality, everything is being done by the modes of material nature through this body. What happens is, the modes of material nature, they force a person to act in certain way, and person is helpless. So most of the time, they are completely working under the direction of these modes. Which is the three aspects of Maya, three forms: Satogun, Rajogun, Tamogun. Everybody is acting under these modes, and they think that I am the doer. But in actuality, they are not the doer, because soul has no capacity to do anything. Soul can only desire. And everything depends on that desire. Whatever we desire, accordingly we get a body that gives some material enjoyment or suffering, because they come together always. It's not that only enjoyment will come or suffering will not come. They are two sides of a coin. If sometimes happiness comes, sometimes misery will also come. So this keeps on happening. So normally people think they are the doers, but everything is happening by the modes of material nature. The only difference between a very advanced devotee and a normal person is that a devotee does not think himself to be the doer. Rather, he always thinks, okay, this is in the material world I am, and because of my past activities, I am placed in certain situations where I have certain level of intelligence, I have certain level of money, I have so and so relatives and family members. In this situation, I have some enjoyment, some suffering. a person understands that and he accepts it. Because it is all because of my past reactions, and he does not hanker for this situation to change. He's not too much worried, oh, this is a problem, misery, let us do something to fix it. He does not hanker for that. Rather, he remains neutral and he changes his desires to please Krishna. He starts hankering slowly and slowly for things that will make Krishna happy. So, in due course, slowly and slowly, his past reactions will vanish, because whatever has been accumulated has to come. It may take one life, two lives, or sometimes if Krishna is very pleased, he may cut it down and finish it off. And then he becomes pure devotee, pure person, and he goes back to Godhead. So, the essence is, whatever comes to our life, we have no control over that. Then people think, people may ask the question that, if everything is happening by modes of material nature, then why are we responsible for our activities? That question may be asked. We become responsible because we desire. Because we associate with that. If we don't associate ourselves, we do not desire, then we will not be responsible. If it's like this, if someone wants to drink alcohol, first there is a desire. If someone has drank alcohol without having any desire, in certain whatever situations may come and he was forced or whatever happened and the alcohol went in his mouth like that, but he had no desire for it, absolutely from the core of the heart, he will not get a reaction. The person gets a reaction because he desires to enjoy. He desires to do something, and that desire brings reaction. So whatever comes our way in our life, we have no control over that, because that's kind of our fortune or misfortune, whatever one may call, our bhagya. But how we react to that is under our control. Like in an examination, two students may be there, and one student scores very high. Or let us take another example. Two students and both fail. Suppose. One student becomes really perturbed and really depressed, and he even decides, oh, life is useless, now what can I do? I can do nothing. And then finally it may even take a very extreme step of trying to harm himself. Something like that. Another student, it happened, no problem, I tried my best. I will try again, I will give my best, I will try again, and then let us see. So the two persons, same situations, were reacted very differently. So what came to them is same, but how they reacted to it is different. So based on how they reacted, they will get different reactions, different results. So two persons, whatever comes their way may be same, but how they react. Suppose you are walking on the road and there is very crowded and somebody pushed. It happens. It could be one person who can just ignore it and move on. Other persons, hey, kaise dhakka de diya humko? Dikhai nahi padta tha kya? Aankh phooti hui hai. They say like so many things. So that will have a different reaction. So everything hangs on our desire. The very reason why we are in this material world is because of our desires. We desire to enjoy separately from Krishna, that's why we are here. And then it's a chain of things that we get bound in, and we continue. But when we desire, the fulfillment of that desire is not under our control. It's all sanctioned and fulfilled by Krishna. If we deserve, then that will be carried out by the modes of material nature, that will be fulfilled. And sometimes we do not desire, still things come our way because of our past karma. Like nobody desires miseries. Right? Nobody ever thinks, I have never been slapped by anyone. I wish today someone comes and slaps me. Nobody thinks like that. I have never been spoken harsh words. I wish somebody should come today and speak to me very harshly and scold me and abuse me. Nobody thinks like that. But it happens in our lives. Sometimes, someplace, somebody will speak harshly. Sometimes, someplace, somebody will disrespect me. And just like this, sometimes, someplace, somebody will respect me also. Sometimes, at another place, I will get money also. Someplace, I will lose also. It will happen. We can only desire. The actual fulfillment is always carried out by the power of Krishna. Krishna says, I am the sanctioner of everything. Without Krishna's sanction, nothing happens. That's why it is said, not even a leaf moves without Krishna's sanction. So if a leaf cannot move without Krishna's sanction, then how can I do so many things? I cannot do anything. I can only desire. Krishna fulfills it if He thinks I deserve. So whatever happens in our lives, ultimately that is carried out by Krishna's energies, Krishna's power, Krishna's potency. Difference is, a devotee recognizes that, a non-devotee does not recognize. Non-devotee thinks, no, I am the doer. But a devotee thinks, no, it has been fulfilled by Krishna. A devotee will always think, he may desire, oh Krishna, if you want, please engage me in your service, and some service comes and the devotee does the service, he thinks it's Krishna, he empowered me to do something. He always gives the credit to Krishna. But a non-devotee, I did it. I am the doer. So that is the difference. That's what he's saying, that a devotee, a seer, is detached and he thinks that everything is carried out by the modes of material nature through this body. And I am not the doer. That is the meaning here. And second verse says, when a sensible man ceases to see different identities due to different material bodies, and he sees how beings are expanded everywhere, he attains to the Brahman conception. This is talking about a person who is very elevated, who can see beyond bodies. Normally we see every person as different, every animal as different, every living entity as different. But a person who is very advanced, he sees everybody as soul, as part and parcel of Krishna. He has got that vision. We can theoretically speak, but a person who is in that consciousness, he always sees everybody equal. He makes no distinction. There is a verse in Bhagavad Gita that says that. Does anyone know? That a very advanced, very learned person sees everybody as equal. Pandita Asam, what is the full verse? Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavahastini Shuni Chaiva Swapakecha Pandita Samadarshina. That a Pandita, one who is Pandit, means very learned person, he is Samadarshi. He has equal vision. He sees five forms are mentioned. One is Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahman. A Brahman who is very equipped with knowledge and humility. It's a very nice Brahman. Sampanne Brahmane, Gau, the cow, Hastini, the elephant, Shuni, a dog, Chaiva, Swapakecha. Swapak means a dog eater, Chandal, who is very low level consciousness. Pandita Samadarshana, a Pandita sees everybody equal. Everybody equal in the sense he is able to see that this is also a soul, this is also a soul, here is also a soul. And all the souls are part and parcel of Krishna, he sees that way. Just like if parents, there may be two, three, or maybe if a parent has five children. When parents look at the children, they look at them as their children. They don't look, oh, he is an engineer, he is a big person. He is a sweeper, he is a very low person. He is a butcher. He is a politician. That may be there, but that is secondary. For parents, they are all children. That is primary. Right? Because that is the relationship that is more important to them than other designations that they have got for a parent. And they will have same love for all of them. That's kind of an example, analogy I am giving to relate to. Similarly, a person who is very advanced, even though he may know that this is an elephant, it's not that he doesn't, when he looks at an elephant, he doesn't know that it's not an elephant. He sees it's an elephant. It's a dog, it's a pandit. But that is less important to him. What is more important to that person is that everybody is a living entity, soul, part and parcel of Krishna. That is more important than anything else. Just like in our ISKCON temple, when devotees come, a devotee may be born in a low family or high family, a devotee may be very rich or very poor. Devotee may be powerful position, or may not have any powerful position. That is secondary. Important thing is devotees. We are all devotees. We are all servants of Krishna. So we respect everyone as devotees, treat everyone as devotees, because we are all servants of Krishna. That relationship is more important than the other designations that people have. Though I am aware that that person has that relationship. Is very rich, is a big businessman, or is a teacher, or is a student, or old person, or young person, or a woman, or a man, or a child, looking beautiful, or looking not so beautiful. All those I may know, but that is less important. What is more important is everybody is a devotee. Everybody is part and parcel of Krishna. Just like the Brajavasis, when they looked at Krishna, even though they knew that Krishna is God, it's not that they didn't know. They knew that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because there have been situations when they offer prayers where they do glorify Him as God. You see, gopis' prayers, when gopis are singing in separation, they glorify Krishna. There are many prayers where Brajavasis sing, and there they mention that Krishna is God. But in their dealings with Krishna, that is less important. Krishna is God, that is less important. What is more important is their love. And He is my friend, is more important. For Nanda Baba and Ashwadamaya, He is my child, is more important than He is God. For the gopis of Vrindavan, He is my beloved. And we love Him, that is more important than He is God. So the Godhood, it takes a lower position, and these loving relationships, they take a higher position. That is the characteristic of Braj. So that is what is the meaning of when we say Pandita Samadarshina. It does not mean that that person is actually blind and he does not see that this is an elephant, this is this. But that is not important to him. That is not important to him. What is important to him is his soul, part of Krishna. And we see so many examples. Mrigari, who was earlier killing animals half, when he received the mercy of Narad Muni, he became so advanced that when he is walking and there are ants, then he is jumping. He is not able to step on an ant. The same person who was killing animals mercilessly. So he is so advanced now. Because now he is able to see these ants are also part of Krishna. He sees them in that way now.
Because unless that understanding is there, that there is a soul, a person cannot respect that entity. He respected ants because he was able to see. He is also seeing that this is an ant. It's not that he doesn't see. But more important than ant, he sees that here is a soul who is part of Krishna. And that is more important. And that is why he was, when he was walking towards his guru, Narada Muni, he was making sure that he does not step on any of those ants. So this is the high level of consciousness that is being talked about here. So those persons who are very advanced, they will exhibit these kind of characteristics. I think this gives some, I have tried to explain. These are very deep verses because talking about separation from matter and spirit, which we can understand to the level of our consciousness is. A person is very advanced, he will be able to see through clearly. That vision is given. Through this we understand at least that what a level of consciousness that is expected from a devotee. And then we see where we are, and then that way we understand that we have actually a long way to go. And that should inspire us to become more serious in our practice of devotional service, so that one day Krishna may be pleased and he will give us the vision to act on this platform that Krishna is talking about here. So with this we end, this time is over. Thank you very much. If anyone has anything to say, yes, Prabhu. Yes. Please tell something about Vrindavan. I told about Vrindavan, the Vrajavasis, when Krishna was present here, even though the bhakti that is present in Braj, this is the only place where Krishna's godhood takes a lower position and the loving relationship supersedes that. In other places also there are pure devotees, but they respect Krishna as God. They, with awe and reverence, he is my Lord, my Narayan. But in Braj, the devotional service that have been mentioned on the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, that is so intimate that even the Godhood takes, it hides under their loving relationships. That is the beauty of Vrindavan Dham. Yes, Prabhu.
Your body, you are not this body, is saying that material modes of nature, they are helping you, just like now you are speaking. You are speaking, even not speaking, Krishna is speaking through you. So, the further is given that God has created this as a machine, just like a motor car, Prabhupada gave example. It doesn't move unless and until there is a driver. The super soul and soul is given example. So this body is similar like that, and just like he has given the example of Jai Vijay, and he gave them the plan, you go and become demons. So they became acted in a very wonderful way, whatever the Lord wanted. So we are thinking they are doing on their own, but this is the plan of Lord. So Lord has given plan to everyone. According to his plan, we are working. In the very air it is said desires. How can a machine get a desire? How can the motor car get a desire? Motor car doesn't get a desire unless soul and super soul is there. So soul is asking super soul where I want to go in this one. That is a second thing. But as a machine cannot do anything unless and until somebody is there. So these desires coming, this is somewhere I understand how the desires coming, how the machine get a desire, how the car get a desire, unless and until soul is not there. So this is, everything is planned by God. In 7th canto, Maya Dhanuma is giving the example. You see, this is all the Lord's plan. He had made a netra. In the netra, whoever he put there, he used to be more stronger and come and fight with Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva was very disturbed. And then Lord thought, what should I do then? He called Brahma, he became a plow, he became plow and plow. So they drank all the debt. And that time Maya Dharma is watching, he cannot do anything. He is saying, you see the plan of Lord. My plan was that I will do this one, I will do this one. But now Lord planned that he brings all the nectar, so I cannot do anything. So everything is planned by Lord. If we are thinking this is our past dharmas, past activities, past this one, it doesn't matter whatever we are thinking. But just like a beautiful boat of film, if we are making some producers making film, he will give a certain type of role to everyone, and certain dialogue, certain everything he gives in that you have to speak in that manner. So according to that one, we are doing this one, and that's another feeling. Yes, people like to see this, this that person has done wonderful activities, he has done wonderful things. But because he has given that type of role, that's why he is doing those wonderful things. So now here also in material world, Lord has given each and every one different plans. Although we look similar, but every mind having different minds, different concepts. You are very educated, I am uneducated, he is maybe little more educated, he is little more educated. So these are our plans of Lord. We cannot think that this is our desires or something. Because everything is coming from the Lord and he has given the plan to each and everyone. We cannot interfere. If I want to go out from here, I cannot go out because I am sitting here, I want to listen properly and then I have to go. But some of them, they are not interested to come because Lord doesn't want that they should listen this knowledge. He doesn't allow them. Okay, you go and do bhajanpa or you do your activities or you should have some service, go on to service, but you cannot come here because Lord doesn't have plan for you. He has planned for me that you have to go and sit there and you have to speak there, you have to listen properly. You are in Sarnam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Sarnam, Pratisimo. He is telling you, you have to do those things. So if you follow what God is telling and according to His plan, if you are working, then I think this verse, whatever He says, is understandable. And the one who sees the actual seer is the same. So if you see in that manner, then we are the actual seers. Can you answer?
Yes, there is a difference between Lord's plan and Lord sanctioning something. When Krishna says that I sanction every activity, does not necessarily mean that Krishna wants you to do that. This is a difference that we have to understand. Krishna does not give a plan for every living entity that, okay, you have to live like this. Krishna, based on our own activities and our own desires, we deserve to get certain body, be born in certain situations, and then we act like that. Krishna takes charge of only those persons and has a plan for that person who becomes a pure devotee of him. Then he takes full charge. Then that devotee fully acts under the direction of Krishna. So examples of Pandavas, Prahlad Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj, their lives are different. Those who are fully surrendered to Krishna, then Krishna has a plan for them because he takes the charge. But for normal living entities, they are only being guided by the modes of material nature. But that is very clear in these verses. Otherwise, because then a person who goes and kills someone, then why should he be punished? Because if Krishna has made a plan for him like that, then he will say, I am not responsible for it. So Krishna has not made that plan. He desires to do that. So he deserves a reaction for that. In these two purports, Sri Prabhupada clearly writes that it's all because of the desires. And in the verse 3.27, Prakritaya Kriyamanani Gunai Karmani Sarvasa, Sri Prabhupada writes that living entity, having associated with this material nature for many, many lifetimes, has developed so many desires for material enjoyment. And he keeps getting reactions for that. Krishna gives knowledge so that they can understand and come out of this cycle. As long as we desire to enjoy in this material world, we will be bound. Only when we change our desires to serve Krishna and to love Him, to please Him, then things start to wind up. So that part we should be very clear. So otherwise, anybody, if I come and give a slap to you, And then I say, oh, Krishna has made a plan, why are you reacting? So it's not like that. Krishna only takes charge of someone who is completely surrendered to him. Like Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, Krishna takes their charge. So he directs them. Then whatever they are doing is actually directly done by Krishna. I mean, he is direct under the direct supervision of Krishna. Otherwise, it's under the supervision of Krishna's energies, which is more for most of the people is Krishna's material energy, which is Maya. So that energy may force the person to do it. That is the law of karma. So that is something we need to be clear about.
Super soul is in the start.
Yes.
She is guiding everyone.
Yes.
So we cannot say only for some he is guiding some.
He is guiding, but the choice whether we listen to him or not, that is ours. Suppose I see a drunkard here, I may go and tell that person that drinking is not good for your health, please do not drink. But whether to listen to that or not is his choice. Krishna does not force anyone. He will guide. Because Krishna wants everyone to voluntarily love him. And voluntarily and love can only exist when there is no force. If I force someone, no, you must love me, then there cannot be any love. Love cannot be forced. So Krishna waits. He keeps waiting for lives after lives when this devotee, this person will understand and he will turn towards me. So Krishna is there in the heart. He is always guiding. But it's up to us whether we listen to him or not. So most of many lives we have not been listening to him. We have not been listening to him. And the day a devotee understands and he starts listening to him, that is awakening. That is the most fortunate day.
So when the car is driven, So who is driving the car? Mind or the Atma or Paramatma?
Are a car is driven, the driver who is sitting there, he is driving.
So Atma or Paramatma?
Atma cannot act independently. Soul cannot do anything. That's what this word says. Soul is never the doer. Soul can only desire. Soul desires to drive. And super soul empowers it to happen. That is how it works. Soul can only desire. But the ability to do only comes from Krishna.
So I am sitting in the car and I want to drive. I want to go to Chhattisgarh.
I don't know. It's like this. See, Krishna has already given us the knowledge, the understanding before. I have been there before. So roots, all that is already there. It's not that Krishna has to spoon feed everything. He has already given. When how did I know my route? First of all, how did I know my destination? So there has been a history. I know.
Sanctioning is done.
Yes. Sanctioning. He is the sanctioner.
You can go ahead.
Yes. He is sanctioning. Yes.
The desire from where the desire is coming when the machine is there, I'm asking the
machine is this body.
Yeah.
In that machine, because soul is present, desire originates from the soul. Soul, desire comes from machine will never desire. Machine is dead. Because dead body and living body. Dead body will never desire anything. Only living body, because the soul is present there, so soul desires. But when soul desires, Krishna makes the machine function.
Through soul.
Soul is there. So always that connection is there. Yes, he empowers soul to do. Just like this, suppose I employ somebody in my office to do something. And I'm asking that person to do, then I also empower that person. You need a computer, then I provide a computer. You need money, you need a place to sit. Then that person who is the Malik, boss, he will provide also that facility. If that work need to be done. Yes. Soul is because, so the reaction for that desire, soul has to be here. If I desire somebody to kill somebody, suppose. And for whatever reason, that person may be a separate phenomenon, that person also deserves to be killed, or he has done something, so he needs to get his reaction. So this matches, then Krishna may make that arrangement where person A can go and kill person B. Sometimes person A desires to kill person B, but person B doesn't deserve to be killed. So that will never happen. In this world, there are so many people who desire to kill so many people, right? There are terrorists all over who are desiring to kill so many other people, but they are not successful. So, yes, it's a see, law of karma is very complex, very, very complex, and we cannot fully comprehend it. The essential principles we should understand, that soul is here in this material world, what is the main reason is the desire for enjoyment, separate from Krishna. Now, Krishna being a loving father, he fulfills. Just like I have a child, suppose, and child is insisting on eating candies, and I know candies are not good, but child keeps crying and obstinate, then I may say, okay, go and take it. It does not mean that I want him to eat. But I have still sanction, and unless I sanction, he cannot do it. So I may sanction, so Krishna may sanction it. Does not mean that Krishna wants it. That distinction we should understand. Doesn't mean Krishna wants. So that should be very clear. Krishna may fulfill so many desires, but then the reaction also has to come. That also we have to get. That is the law of karma. We desire, we got it done, then the reaction will come. That also we have to face. Yes. Desire makes everything. Whatever happening in this world is desires. The whole world exists on desires. Desires. If all living entities had desires to serve Krishna, then there is no meaning of material world. Though material world is not required. Not required. So that should be very clear. And Krishna is not responsible. If I desire to kill somebody, Krishna sanctioned it and I went and killed it, Krishna is not responsible. Because I desire, so I am responsible and I will get the reaction. Krishna is aloof. Krishna sanctioned because without his sanction nothing can happen in this. Even a leaf cannot move without his sanction. He is seated in the heart of everyone as the super soul, sanctions. He says, Anumanta, I am the sanctioner. Upadrishta Anumanta cha. Upadrishta means Sakshi, I am the witness. Anumanta, I am the sanctioner. He is the sanctioner. Does not mean he wants it. What he wants, he has told. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhakta prayakshati. Yad karoshi yadashnasi yajjuhoshi dadashi yad tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurusha padam padam. Man manabho mad bhakto mad yaji mam namaskuru. Sarvadharmana parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja. This is what he wants. He wants us to do that. So he tells what he wants us. Now, whether we follow or not, that is up to us. He will not force us. He leaves the choice always. That is where the free will is. Because he wants us to willingly, he will give the knowledge. He will provide facilities. Now, if we desire to do devotional service, we are able to do, if we are able to do anything, that is also only because Krishna is allowing us to do. I am able to come because Krishna is allowing me to come here and here. Srimad Bhagavad Gita, that is why I am here. So that distinction should be there. Okay, I think we can end here. Yeah. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.